Today's scripture reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and you can find them on pages 198 and 199 in the New Testament. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
Thank you, Wendy, for that truly excellent special music this morning. Each week, we light the peace candle in worship. It gives us an opportunity to think each week about a different way in which the world needs peace. It's part of our commitment to being a just peace church. Sometimes, as I scroll through the various news outlets each week to find something to bring to the peace candle, I'll be honest, I sit and wonder, how is God going to make peace out of all this stuff? And I'm sure you've noticed it too. God's creation and God's people, well, they just seem to be in a bad place. It's why some of the cranes above us are prayers folded out of newspaper. And just when the news seems overwhelming as it does today, I remember, God will make this into peace. But it's going to be in God's way and in God's time. And I still can't even begin to imagine how God's going to do that. But that's okay, because I don't need to know, because God knows. Peace, however, is more than world peace. Many of you are aware that we are spending this summer exploring the fruits of the Spirit as the Apostle Paul taught them. The fruits of the Spirit, just as a reminder, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul taught that the fruits of the Spirit are ways of being in the world that differentiate Christians from the people around them. They are the very traits of our faith we are to show to the world. Now, we each have a notion of what world peace would look like. But peace, as a fruit of the Spirit, is not to be found in the world. It's found within. To understand what Paul means by peace, we need to step back a bit. We need to look not just at this chapter of Philippians, but the book of Philippians. The Apostle Paul had a special relationship with the church in Philippi. He spread the gospel there, of course, but there was something more between him and the people in that church. They were connected in a special way. If you read the book of Philippians, which is only 4 chapters long and it takes about 20 minutes to read, so I hope you'll take a look at it. You get to hear more of it next week in worship, by the way. But when you read this book, you'll see that Paul is writing to this church as one would write to a dear friend. This letter is one of deep friendship. It's a special teaching of love that he has to offer this church. So who were they? Philippi was a city situated on a road that connected Asia and Europe. It was inhabited by Romans and Greeks and Asian people. It was a city of slaves and the middle class and even wealthy merchants. Lydia, who sold purple cloth, lived in Philippi. Philippi and the church there were as diverse as the ancient world got. And just as we know our own community to be one in which not all people agree all the time, it seems that the people of the Philippian church were not always in agreement. In the text we heard this morning, it's clear there's disagreement in the Philippian church. Euodia and Syntyche are both leaders of the congregation, and there's some matter upon which they don't agree. Thankfully, Paul doesn't tell us what the issue is, and he doesn't tell us who's right. Paul uses the opportunity of his letter to seek peace and unity in the church. And one of the things that Paul suggests will bring peace is unity within the faith community. That's why he addresses the conflict in Philippi and says, "You need to work this out," without telling them how. We often say that the church is a champion of peace. And that's true for world peace, but it's also true for inner peace. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, is teaching the members of this church that there are ways to cultivate inner peace. It was true then, and it's true now. This is done, he says, with spiritual practices that transform us, so that even if the world does not find peace, we do. In verses 4-7, Paul tells the congregation of Philippi to rejoice. Be joyful even in moments of discord. He reminds them to be gentle. Treat others knowing that God is near. He tells them, do not worry. Did you know that's the most frequent commandment we hear in the New Testament? Don't worry. And finally, he tells the church to take all concerns into prayer and to offer thanksgiving. It's only after prayer and thanksgiving that Paul says we are given the gift of peace of God that passes all understanding. Only after prayer, only after thanksgiving. Peace is not a matter of everything being the way we think it should be. And it's not an absence of conflict. Peace is a process, inner and outer. I recalled this week that during the civil rights movement, there were lots of people who wanted to see equality come. It was also a time of great social unrest and social violence. The people who marched with Martin Luther King Jr. were often met with violence. And there were those among the movement who wanted to fight back. But Martin Luther King Jr. refused. As a man of faith, he knew that you cannot create peace through violence. His nonviolence commitment was grounded in knowing that to be peaceful in the world, we first had to be peaceful within ourselves. So that when we go out to the world, we meet the world as the gentle children of God that we are called to be in all time. Paul was telling the church at Philippi the same thing. Paul was telling them that peace within the church and around them was more than they could understand. It's more than we can understand. Peace is not an absence of war. The peace of God that passes all understanding does not arrive with world peace. And much to our dismay, it does not come with the establishment of justice. The peace of God that passes all understanding comes after we do the inner work that sustains us in doing the outer work which the world puts before us as ours to do. We each need to find peace in our lives. And more than likely, the world will not achieve world peace in our lifetimes. I hate to say that, but I think it's true. So how do we as individuals live in peace? It's what Paul was urging the church in Philippi to do. And it's not easy to cultivate inner peace. But it is the fruit of the Spirit which Paul taught. Because without inner peace, we cannot cope with, let alone change the world around us. Without some inner peace and developing that week by week, how can we continue to face the scandal each week? Paul lived in a time when people were killed for worshiping Christ. He himself had persecuted Christians. Persecution was not abstract to him. The letter he wrote to the church at Philippi, he wrote from prison in Rome fully expecting he would soon be executed. He knew his life was threatened, and that the survival of the church was threatened as well. That was the context of this letter. This context of a rapidly changing and dangerous world in which Paul encouraged his congregation to keep the faith. It should be an encouragement to us as well. It should remind us that even when times are as tough as we can imagine, we have to keep living the message we have been taught. We have to keep finding ways to find joy. We have to keep praying. We have to keep expressing thanksgiving. And then, when that work is done, something happens. The conflicts around us may not change, but we change. Through waiting and praying, we are reassured that we are never truly alone, that we are united to one another in Christ. And as we struggle for peace and justice, it is sometimes important that we think we are big and can change the world, like the sequoia on the screen this morning. But like that sequoia, we are never alone. God is right there beside us, all of the time. And that is peace. When we started this series, I mentioned that the fruits of the Spirit were like seeds we each could grow. Peace may be a little bit different than the others. We may all be seeds of peace. But to get that seed of peace to grow within us, we have to break it open, and we break it open by prayer and thanksgiving. Only then do we have within us the kind of peace that can be set loose to change the world. Amen.